The book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, here's what the Bible says. Of course, this is a great chapter on faith. And the Bible says this, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Please bless, Lord, the preaching of Thy Word this evening. I trust that You'll help me say some things that will build our faith. And I realize that if what I say comes from the Word of God, based on the Word of God, that it will build our faith. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I don't think any of us here would say that our faith is as strong and as vibrant as we'd like it to be. I don't know of any man that would say that, honestly. He's right with Thee. He always wants a greater faith. He wants a stronger faith. And I pray that You'd increase our faith here tonight by the preaching of Thy Word. If there's someone who has never been saved by grace through faith, I beg You, Lord, to deal with that heart and bring them to faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. What is faith? That's sound like a very simple question. As I began thinking about this earlier in the week, I thought to myself, I wish I had a compilation of all the definitions and descriptions of faith that I've read over the years. And usually whenever I'm reading a book or an article or something, and I run across somebody's description of faith or definition of faith, I'll usually highlight or underscore it. Then you forget where it was or you forget all about it. But I thought about this, I thought, if I just had all the different descriptions of faith that I've ever read put together, maybe them combined would give us some idea of what faith is. The little text verse I've taken tonight simply says this, "Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." That sounds very simple, doesn't it? But, you try breaking that down and explaining it, and you'll find that it is much more complicated than it appears. That is a rich little statement. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You think about the substance of things hoped for. That is, faith anticipates that which God has said He will do or what He has said will happen. That's faith. It's the substance of things hoped for, the substance, that which stands under what we look forward to. The substance of things that have yet to take place, but we anticipate them. We anticipate them because God has said it. The evidence of things not seen. That is, faith believes that there are things that we cannot see that are just as real, in fact, are more real than a lot of things that we can see. There's things all around us that we cannot see. There's a spiritual battle going on around us that we cannot see. I know that these things are there because of faith. But I've never seen them. But that's just a very brief description of faith there in that first verse. Now we realize that faith is something that is very important because down in verse 6 of Hebrews 11, the Bible says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him." It's impossible to please God without faith. And so it's important that we develop that faith, that we build that faith, that we seek God's blessings on us to give us more faith. When I think about faith, and I try to define it, a very simple definition of faith is simply this. It's taking God at His Word and responding accordingly or appropriately. Taking God at His Word, what He says, and then whatever He says, however that requires that we respond to it, that we respond in that way. Taking God at His Word and responding accordingly or responding appropriately. Now, I want to just talk to you a couple things about faith. The first thing is this, that the lost people are saved by faith. Lost people are saved by faith. Now, the Bible makes this very clear. The book of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, probably are the verses most familiar to us. I know I quote them often in soul winning and so forth. But here's what those verses say. "For by grace," and grace is God doing for you what you do not deserve, "For by grace are you saved through faith, And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So there it's very clear. We're saved by grace through what? Faith. Not by works. Not by anything that we do. It's faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. What He accomplished there on the cross of Calvary and also the resurrection from the tomb. It's faith in that. Now, there's many other passages that emphasize this. The book of Romans emphasizes the matter of salvation by faith over and over. We look in Romans chapter 3 and verse 27. And it says, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? No, but by the law of faith. The law of faith. And so there he's talking about we're saved by faith. He says, therefore, verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified. That's what salvation is. We're justified in the sight of God. A man is justified by what? By faith, without the deeds of the law. Not by keeping the law, but he's justified, that is, he's saved by faith. And we look over at chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And over the Bible talks about the matter that we're justified by faith, or we're saved by faith, or through faith. I thought about it in the book of Acts, chapter 16. Where Paul, Barnabas there, they're in the Philippian jail. Or Silas it was, wasn't it? It was in the Philippian jail. And, of course, they were praying, singing the praises of God at midnight. And you're familiar with the story, I trust, how that there's an earthquake and basically the doors and the shackles all fell off of the men in the jailed house. And they were, the jailer assumed they were going to all escape. And he said this. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And what did Paul say to him? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does it mean to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? It means you place your faith in Him. Faith, faith. Believing is I get the verb of faith. It's faith in practice. And so it said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was saved that night. And they went home, told his family about the Lord, and they were saved as well by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is it that keeps a man from simply trusting in Christ, that is, placing his faith in Christ and being saved? What prevents him from doing that? What keeps him from doing it? Well, sometimes he just doesn't want to be saved. But three things that came to my mind as I asked myself this question. What keeps men from trusting in Christ? The first thing that came to my mind is this is ignorance. Ignorance. That is, they don't realize who Christ is, what Christ has done. They don't realize that salvation is by placing their faith in Christ. And so ignorance is a major reason. We look over at Romans chapter 10. When we're out soul winning, a lot of times we use Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I believe that with all of my heart, don't you? But let's read on and see what it says after that. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? Well, they can't call on someone they've not believed in. And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? Otherwise, they don't hear, they're ignorant. And therefore, they can't believe. And therefore, they can't call upon the Lord. And then it says, and how shall they hear without a preacher? And that's why that we must take the gospel of Jesus Christ into all the world. We must preach it to every creature. Because apart from the Word of God, they know from nature that there is a God. They can tell some things from a little bit about what God is like by looking at nature. But they'll never know the Savior, Jesus Christ, and what He did to save them. They'll never know that unless somebody tells them. And if somebody does not tell them, they're in ignorance. And therefore, they cannot believe and they cannot call upon the name of the Lord. So, a lot of times, it's ignorance. It's ignorance. Now, in our society, there shouldn't be any excuse for being ignorant of the gospel. However, I guess you could be deceived and believe in a false gospel. But ignorance. Another reason that people will turn from trusting in Christ is this. They want to cling to their sin. They want to cling to the sin. Until a man wants to be saved from his sin, he's not going to believe in the Lord to save him from his sin. It's that simple. He's clinging to that sin. He's got to be willing to let it go. He's got to be sick and tired of that sin. What we call repentance. But if he's clinging to that sin, he'll not want to believe. He'll not want to be delivered from his sin. And over the years, I've had some people give me some of the most amazing excuses of why that they were going to hold off being saved. Sins that they were going to cling to. I had one man one time tell me, said, I can't get saved now till I get rid of my fighting roosters. And he was in the cockfighting world, I guess you'd say. And he said, I realize I can't get saved till I get rid of those roosters. I thought, my goodness, life, die and go to hell for a rooster. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something? But, you know, when a man finally does get saved, if he ever does, he realizes that no sin is that important. Amen? And then there's another reason. That is people trying to assist the Lord with their salvation. And that's where it gets back to we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. People want to do something to help the Lord. It's just in our nature. Just in our nature, we want to help God. We want a little bit of credit for what God does. But in order for a man to be saved, he's got to realize I can't do anything. And if I try to do anything, then I'm going to mess it up. That's not faith. Faith is simply completely trusting the Lord. Amen? So, the lost are saved by faith. That was one of the greatest things I'd ever heard in my life when it was explained to me that I could be saved by simply believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I thought I was going to have to do some things to help God along, to earn God's favor, and I realized I could not do them. I could not do them. I could not hold out. And that was a great news that day when I realized it was all by the grace of God through faith. So, we're saved by faith. You're saved tonight, you're saved by faith. Amen? But then I want you to think about this. I realize that most people listening to me this evening, that you're probably already saved. You wouldn't be here on church on Wednesday night, or probably wouldn't be listening in on a Wednesday night. It'd be wonderful if somebody was listening that was not saved and would hear this and they would get saved. They'd realize that it's not by my works, but it's by the grace of God. And they'd call upon the Lord, believing that He had died for them, and be saved. But I realize that most, if not all of us that are listening tonight, are saved already. So that brings the next thing. The lost, that is we say the sinners, are saved by faith. But the saved, that is the saints of God, we live by faith. We live by faith. So many people think, saved by grace through faith, they think that's where it stops. But that's just where it starts. After that, we are to live by faith. Live by faith. Now listen to a few passages of Scripture. In the book of Galatians and chapter 3 at verse 11, the Bible says this, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. And then he says this, the just shall live by faith. Now who are the just? They're the saved people. The justified. Those that have trusted in the sacrifice of Christ to pay for their sins. We're the justified ones. And the Bible says that not only are people justified by faith, but the Bible says then the what? The just shall live by faith. And we can look over another passage here in the book of Colossians and chapter 2 and verse 6. And the Bible says this, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Now, how did you receive Christ Jesus the Lord? How did you do it? By grace through faith. Amen? Now, as you received Him by grace through faith, this is how you're to walk in Him. Otherwise, how you're to live your life. You're to live your life by grace through faith. It's a life of faith. Now, we say we believe that, but I'm afraid a lot of times our actions prove otherwise. And a lot of times things I hear Christians say, tells me they have not comprehended this matter, that we not only are saved by faith, but we are also to live by faith as well. Now, living by faith means these things. And I'm going to give you three things. Probably won't be very long tonight, all right? But living by faith means that sometimes we work. Sometimes we work. Now, once you get this, faith is not works. Faith is trusting, amen? Faith is not works. But works are often the fruit of faith. God says something. He tells me to do something. I read it in His Word. And so by faith, I do it. I might not understand it. It might not make sense to me. But by faith, I do it. Now, you look back at Hebrews chapter 11, and you'll see people whose faith calls them to work. We look at Aaron in Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Now notice, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now what does that tell us? You go back, of course, in the early chapters of Genesis, and you read that story. But what that tells us is God had told them, you must now approach me with a blood sacrifice. And we know this, that Abel, being a tiller of the ground, he wanted to approach God with a sacrifice of his fruits, his vegetables, whatever it was he was growing there. And his brother, Abel, he was a keeper of sheep, and he brought the blood sacrifice. And God accepted the blood sacrifice of Abel, rejected the vegetable sacrifice of Cain, and as a result of that, Cain gets mad and kills his brother, the first death in the history of mankind, and it was somebody dying because of their life of faith. But he offered that more excellent sacrifice. How? By faith. I can imagine Abel saying, it just doesn't make sense to me. I work hard growing these crops. Why won't God accept this? But it's what God said. And we read about Noah in chapter 11 and verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. There's Noah. By faith, he prepared an ark. According to our understanding of the Word of God, before that time, it had never rained. A mist came up out of the earth and watered the face of the earth. And never been a flood, anything like that. And God tells this man Noah, he says, there's going to rain 40 days and 40 nights. There's going to be a flood, going to cover the entire earth. I want you to build an ark. And for 120 years, Noah, the Bible also says, was a preacher of righteousness. He preached and he built that ark. And now, what did happen? His faith produced that works. I don't think it made a lot of sense to Noah. And this certainly didn't make sense to anybody around him. What in the world are you doing out here building this huge boat? It's going to rain. Never rained before. We're going to have a flood. What's a flood? Noah said, listen, all I can tell you for sure is this. God said, build this ark. And I'm going to do it. You see how faith means that sometimes we work. You look at Abraham. Abraham, the Bible says, he went out, not knowing whether he went. How did he do that? By faith. God said, I want you to leave Ur of the Chaldees. I want you to go to a land. I'm not going to tell you where it's at. When you get there, I'll tell you you're there. And by faith, he stepped out and he did that. You see how faith produced works in his life. What I'm trying to get you to see here is this, that faith is not necessarily, in fact, I would say that it's not usually something that's just passive and inactive. It's something that's aggressive and active. It does something. As James said, what? I'll show you my faith by my works. That's what the world sees as our works. And it's not enough to just say we have faith. So living by faith means that sometimes that we work, we undertake things that we don't understand, things that go contrary to the world. But we do those things by faith. Now, faith also means that sometimes we will wait. Sometimes we have work, but sometimes faith means that we'll wait. You see, faith is not something that is presumptive. It does not do something without the Lord's direction. And it is not honoring to God for His children to just guess at things and jump out there and do something, hoping that they get it right, hoping that God will bless it. That's not it. No, faith will wait until it gets direction from God. I thought about Sarah and Abraham. They, there in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 11 and 12, it says there that through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one and him as good as dead, that is from Abraham, so many as the stars of the sky and multitude and so forth. Now here they are, they conceived a child by faith. Now the Lord had told them that, they were to wait. But what did they do? They got impatient, did they not? And instead of waiting for God to fulfill the promise, instead of doing that, Sarah says to her husband Abraham, listen, I've got this little Egyptian handmaiden here, Hagar. And since I'm an elderly lady and I can't have any more children, I'm going to give her to you, and you conceive a child with her, and that child will be ours. And that was a rather common practice among the pagans that surrounded them, from what I understand. And so they say, all right, this is what everybody else would do. And they do that. And you know something? The world still is in quite a bit of turmoil because of their refusal to wait by faith. And even though they did not wait, later God still fulfilled His promise, didn't He? He still fulfilled His promise. Listen, I'm trying to get to see. Faith works, but faith also, at times, it waits. Now, many times, a man living by faith, or a church living, operating by faith, they'll have to resist the promptings of even well-meaning Christian people to not wait on God. They'll have to do that. I know there's been times in my ministry where that I've had preachers tell me, and they were men that loved me, men that meant well, but they'd say, here's what you need to do. You need to go ahead and do this. For years, the church I pastored in Alabama, we waited to build. And whenever we got up a rather large sum of money in the bank, I had people telling me, you need to go ahead and borrow the rest of the money and build the building. I said, I don't have peace about that yet. I don't have peace about that. And we waited and waited till we had property paid for and half the money to build the building. And then I felt like, all right, we can step out. And it was still a great step of faith. But I had people telling me, other preachers, you need to go out and you need to borrow the money and build the building. You need it. You could throw up a cheap building and so forth there. I said, no, I believe God wants to have something that will honor Him. And the same thing, when I got there, most of my preacher brothers, they're very heavy in the Faith Promise missions. And I'd been in churches that were heavily involved in Faith Promise missions. And I was at times pushed, well, you need to get into Faith Promise missions. You need to have a Faith Promise conference. And I said, we're not ready yet. We're not ready. But once we did it, it was very successful. I'm saying that a lot of times in your living by faith, you're going to have to resist the promptings of well-meaning people to push you to do something ahead of God's leading. Faith works. Faith waits. Now, let me show you something. Look at the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. And look at verses 5 and following. The Bible says this, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your what? Faith. Virtue. Now, it begins building one thing on top of another thing on the top of another thing. So, it starts out, he says, add to your faith. That's down here on the bottom. So, everything that you're adding above that is actually added to the faith in a sense. And it says, add to your faith, virtue. And then the virtue, which is on your faith, which means that whatever you add to virtue is going to be on the faith as well. And to virtue, what? Knowledge. Now, listen, faith is what? It's built on the Word of God, based on the Word of God. And so you need to get in the Word of God and learn what God says. Have that knowledge. And then it says, and to knowledge, so you got faith, you got virtue, then you got knowledge, and then you've got what? Temperance. Now, what is temperance? Self-control. I'm not going to just jump out there and do something. I'm going to control myself and make sure that when I do something, it's the right thing at the right time. And then it says, and to this temperance what? Patience. Did you get that? So, on top of your faith, among the other things you're going to add to it, you're going to have knowledge of what the will of God is, which you get through the Word of God. You're going to have temperate self-control, that you don't just jump out there and do something to be doing something. And then you're also going to have patience added to it as well, so that you will wait on God. You see what I'm getting at? Faith works, but faith waits. And a lot of times, if you're a person with a little bit of spunk about you, it's a lot harder to wait than it is to work. a lot harder to wait than it is to work. Now, if you don't have much spunk about you, it might be a lot harder to work than it is to wait. But for most folks I know, they got a little bit of spunk about them, and it's very hard to just wait on God. Then a third thing is this. Sometimes faith works, sometimes faith waits, but sometimes faith withdraws. Sometimes faith withdraws. Now, withdrawing is perhaps more difficult than working or waiting, because there is a real sense in which withdrawing is a combination of both. Otherwise, to withdraw, sometimes it means I'm going to have to work. And to withdraw, it means I'm going to have to pull back and wait and wait. So, here's what happens. Withdrawing is something that wounds our pride. That is when by faith God says you just need to back up a little bit. All right? Withdrawing wounds our pride, for it makes us look and feel cowardly, does it not? Man, I hate backing up. I hate backing up. It goes against my nature. But there's times whenever we just have to just kind of withdraw, just kind of back up a little bit and wait on God, wait on God, just withdraw by withdrawing. Now, I think a good example of this is David. David, after being anointed king of Israel, what did he have to do? Now, Saul's the present king. And David, of course, God rejects Saul as king because of his disobedience. And has the prophet Samuel anoint David as the next king. David knows that he's the king. He knows that God's anointed him to be king. But Saul is the one that's actually on the throne. He's actually the king. And what did David have to do? He had to withdraw into the wilderness to avoid being killed by King Saul. Now that's an act of faith right there. You see, he could have taken things in his own hands, jumped the gun, been intemperate, and he could have slain King Saul. But that wouldn't have been God's will. But what he had to do is, now, I know I'm anointed king, but I've got to withdraw. Saul has figured out that I am the one that's going to be king instead of his son Jonathan. And I have to now withdraw into the wilderness, and I have to hide to avoid being killed by King Saul. King Saul hunted him like a dog. Hunted him. And did his best to kill him. And I can assure you of this, that was not an easy thing for David to do as a warrior. I mean, here's a man that when he was just a lad, he killed a bear with his hands. He killed a lion with his hands as they were attacking his father's sheep. Here's a man who's as just a probably a teenage boy with a sling, dared to go out and fight the giant Goliath. And man, he killed him with that one stone, and then took the sword of Goliath out and chopped Goliath's head off. Here's a man that whenever they would say, "Bring us so many foreskins of the Philistines, and you can marry the King Saul's daughter," he'd go out and bring back twice as many. Here's a man whom the ladies were singing about when he came back from the battlefield, about how the thousands of people, the tens of thousands of people he killed. This is a man that's a warrior. It's not easy for him to withdraw. But God now has said, as though he's anointed him as king, he said, "Now you just need to back up. You need to withdraw, go out in the wilderness, and wait." And that was not an easy thing. And David withdrew even when his men said that God had given him the opportunity to kill King Saul. Look at the book of 1 Samuel chapter 24. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 1. This is just one of occasion that David had an opportunity to kill King Saul. But instead he withdrew and waited. In 1 Samuel 24, verse 1, it says, "It came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, 'Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi.' Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave." Now think about that. David and his men are hiding in the cave. It's dark in there. They're hiding in all the little nooks and crannies in the cave, in the back. And here comes King Saul, the man whom David has been anointed to replace, and the man who is doing his best to kill David. And Saul comes in, he says, "I just need to take a little rest." And so he goes into that cave to cover his feet. And it says in verse 4, "And the men of David said unto him," now I want you to get this, here's what David's men are saying to him, "Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayst do to him as it shall seem good unto thee." Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privately. You see what his men are saying? Hey, David, hey, you're our leader. God's in this thing. God's in this. God is, man, He's given your enemy to us. You can go ahead and kill him right now, and you'll become king. This is God's in this thing. Can you imagine the pressure that put on David? It sure looked like God might be in it, did it not? I'm just hiding out in a cave, and he comes and lays down and takes a nap right here in the cave where I'm hiding there. But David said unto his men, verse 6, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." And so David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not. You see what I'm getting at? David's there. He's got a chance. He's got a chance to kill his enemy. But instead, by faith, he says, "I'm going to withdraw." And he withdraws. It took work to withdraw. It took work to restrain his men. And then he had to wait. And eventually what happened? God took care of King Saul, did he not? God took care of him, and the throne was open, and David was able to take the throne without being accused of regicide. And so it pays the weight. That's a hard thing. So I said this, faith for us saints, it requires a lot of other things, but sometimes by faith we work, and we work hard. And sometimes by faith we wait, and sometimes we have to wait a long time. And then sometimes by faith we just have to withdraw. It looks like this is our opportunity, but we realize, no, that's not this. It looks like it. Circumstances say that, but I just need to back up and wait on God. I've got to do it. Now, if you're listening to me and you're lost, I want you to understand that you can be saved tonight from the eternal penalty and the present power of sin. You can be saved tonight. How? By grace through faith. By grace through faith. You're sick of your sin. You realize that the Lord loved you and died for you. It's not ignorance that's keeping you away. But it's that you've been trying to work. You've been trying to do something to save yourself. Listen, throw your hands up. Admit you can't. Admit you're incapable. And call upon the Lord to save you in simple faith. And He'll do what? He'll save you. And then you that know the Lord is your Savior, you only please God when you do what? When you live by faith. We're saved by faith. But we're to live, we're to walk in the Lord just as we received Him. And when we're living by faith, we're walking by faith, you're going to do some work. And you're going to do some waiting at times. And you're going to do some withdrawing at times. And maybe God's speaking to somebody's heart here, somebody listening tonight. There's one of those three things that you really need. Maybe you've been lazy, you need to get to work. Maybe you've been getting ahead of God, you just need to back up and wait a little bit. Or maybe you just need to withdraw. It looks like a great opportunity, but you don't have that peace in your heart. You don't have that absolute knowledge that it's the right thing. Just withdraw and let God take care of things. Amen? Faith. Faith. It's an awesome, awesome thing. Awesome thing. Somebody said that Dr. Lee Robertson, well up into his 90s, and asked him a question, something to this effect. If you had it to go over with, what would you like to do different? And he said, without hesitating, he said, I would like to have had more faith. I'd like to have had more faith. Something to that effect. My goodness, the things that man did. But he realized if I'd had more faith, I could have done a whole lot more. May God help us to hunger for faith. Amen. May God help us. Let's stand.